Time for the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN Radio. Let's see what's on the menu. Sponsored by Catch 35, the perfect menu for your next business lunch. Ray Kaplan is in our studio. She'll talk to us about where we are. Just when you thought you had this student debt forgiveness thing figured out, now states are suing to stop that from happening. So the question for me is, all right, should you start paying again or should you stop paying? Or what's going to happen, Ray, after this? This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN. John Williams here, debt relief attorney Ray Kaplan from the Kaplan Law Firm is in our studio. Ray has been a regular guest talking about student debt, student loans, student loan forgiveness, forbearance, then forgiveness. And now the landscape seems to have changed again just in the last couple of weeks. Ray's in our studio today. Terry Savage is normally our Wednesday guest. Terry's not available today, so we're going to give Ray the first 35 minutes of the show to talk about this. If you've got a question about your situation, 312-981-7200. So where do we start this time?
I know. It's like, what should people be paying attention to? Because there is so much going on in student loan world.
Half a dozen states' attorneys are suing the Biden administration. They say he doesn't have the authority to do this. How do you handicap that?
Well, that's a difficult call. So right now, it's a motion for injunctive relief to stop the Biden administration. And it's a very serious challenge to this $10,000 to $20,000 loan relief. And if I doubt that the injunctive relief would be granted, but that doesn't mean the underlying lawsuit also ends. So the underlying lawsuit will still go forward, and people will get their loans forgiven. But then the question is that going to be reversed by a federal court and then work its way up to the Supreme Court? And it's a very interesting constitutional question in that, does President Biden or any president have the right with an executive order to make these kinds of huge hundreds of billions of dollars of financial decisions that have hundreds of billions of dollars in consequences?
What does injunctive relief mean?
An injunction is a temporary order that would stop the Department of Ed from issuing loan forgiveness. So it's like it's a temporary restraining order.
And is that going to happen, did you say?
I don't think that will happen. In other words, I think the injunction will not be granted, just my feeling, but that doesn't mean that the underlying lawsuit is stopped, because then the underlying lawsuit will still go ahead.
Okay, so you can't nip it in the bud. You can't stop it right now while we sort it out. That happens in a lot. We're familiar with that concept. But the lawsuit still can proceed. But in the meantime, the administrative move is still in play.
Right.
This plan is still at the first of the year. Well, what is the plan, Ray? So when would people actually see subtractions from their amounts that they owe?
Well, I think, according to the Department of Education, we're monitoring it very closely. The Department of Ed has said that they're going to automatically forgive loans for borrowers where they already have their income information from 2020 or 2021. So if you have previously applied for an income-based repayment plan, that means the Department of Ed already has your income information. And if you meet that income threshold of below $125,000 if you're single, below $250,000 if you're married filing jointly, you get $10,000 if you didn't receive Pell Grants, and $20,000 forgiven if you did receive Pell Grants, and it will be applied automatically. But you have to take an affirmative step, because the Department of Ed doesn't just look into your income information. You have to have previously provided it by signing up for an income-based payment plan.
But if I, an income-based payment plan, but suppose I haven't done that, I haven't given them that information, I still could retroactively, right?
Yes, you could. In fact, you can apply now for an income-based payment plan, and then they'll have that information, so they'll be more likely to apply it to you automatically. Or they're supposed to release an application that's supposed, they said October, now they're saying late October. So we'll see when that's actually going to be released.
And presumably that would be an online application?
Yes.
So I'd go online, click in some information, they'd have my social security number, my loan number, and then whoever the servicer is of that, on that account, I would see a deduction.
Yes.
Somebody called in the other day, and they said, is it true that if, this was on the Wintrust Business Lunch, Terry Savage was here Wednesday ago, and they said, is it true that if I have been paying during forbearance on the principal, because I thought that would be smart, and we know why it would be, but now there's going to be forgiveness. Can I get that money back and then ask for forgiveness on it so that I would not have paid it and won't have to? And I said, I think the answer is yes.
Yes, that's correct. So the COVID Forbearance Act, or the CARES Act, stated that if you have federal student loans, that the loans would be placed in forbearance, not accruing any interest, from March 3rd, 2020 through now it's December 31st of 2022. So if you made any payments during that time, you can ask for a refund and they will refund every single payment that you made during COVID forbearance. Now, this makes a lot of sense to do. Let's say you had a $20,000 loan balance, and now you see that under this Biden executive order, you actually are going to get that $20,000 loan forgiven. So you can request a refund. They will refund all those payments that you made. So your balance is going to go back up to where it was, but then the Biden loan forgiveness will kick in, or we'll you apply it for it, and then you wipe it out.
Would money just appear in my checking account or something?
That's correct.
That's why did... I'm surprised they did that. I'm not even sure why they did that.
Yes, actually, we have a client right now who paid down his loans by $200,000 and now is actually going to be employed full-time in the public sector. So he's getting a refund of all of those payments and then is going to get those loans forgiven ultimately under public sector loan forgiveness.
Oh, yeah, right. Because $20,000 is what the forgiveness is. But there's still that loan forgiveness program where if you work 10 years in the public sector and don't miss a payment,
right,
then the balance due.
Plus all that interest.
After 10 years.
Wiped
out. And that's the $200,000 that he would have been facing?
Yes, exactly. We had another client who was a WGN listener, and under the PSLF waiver, which, you know, I was really excited about, and I would talk about it every time I would go on the radio because this is the biggest loan forgiveness program I have ever seen. A client of ours, she had $360,000 in federal loans that we're going to have forgiven under this PSLF waiver. And that is not being challenged by anybody. So I'm not worried about the PSLF waiver. I'm just worried a little bit about the Biden $10,000 to $20,000 loan forgiveness program.
What's PSLF stand for?
Public Service Loan Forgiveness.
Oh, that's the program we're talking about. And when you say that, $360,000, it sounds like somebody got $360,000. That's the anticipated total payment to satisfy the loan requirement. They didn't at that Did they at that moment owe $360,000?
Yes,
and that's their balance. And were they paying interest on that then?
Yes. So the loans have been accruing interest for, you know, years and years.
What would that person's payments have been like then? I mean, as without the forgiveness, how much were they owed each month?
Well, because remember, income-driven payment plans are based on that formula. So depending on what was going on, sometimes their payment was $500 a month and sometimes it was zero a month if they weren't working.
Well, then they would never satisfy that loan requirement.
That's true. But that's not what the statute requires. So that's what's interesting about federal student loans and why I personally like federal student loans so much is that just because you have $300,000 in federal student loans doesn't mean you have to pay back $300,000 in federal student loans because of the way the law applies to the borrower.
If you are working in the public sector.
Yes.
Okay, but if you're working for Goldman Sachs or WGN Radio or your law firm, then you don't get that student loan forgiveness, do you?
No. So then you get what we call private sector loan forgiveness, which is forgiveness after making payments in an income-based payment plan for either 20 years for undergrad loans or 25 years for PLUS loans, including graduate PLUS loans. Even if that payment is $0 per month, after 25 years, by operation of statute, that loan is forgiven.
Okay. I'm late for a break. It's 1218. My number is 312-981-7200. Erase here to answer some of your questions now. You can call or text 312-981-7200. We haven't really spent much time talking about this lawsuit. Ray says that she does think the lawsuit will proceed without injunction, but then what's that going to be like? 1223, Ray Kaplan from the Kaplan Law Firm here in Chicago is in our studio answering your questions about student loan forgiveness. Six states have sued the Biden administration. They said that you can't just summarily write off billions of dollars of student debt. Lots of calls and texts. Ray, anything else we want to say about the status of those cases?
Well, you know, one of the cases that was interesting is that a borrower sued because he lives in a state that does tax for purposes of state taxes, loan forgiveness. So Illinois is not one of those states.
Indiana is.
Indiana is, and so is Wisconsin.
Oh.
So you have to pay state taxes on the amount of loan forgiveness that you receive. So there's a lawsuit on that basis as well. So I feel like some of these lawsuits are more meritorious than others, but there are serious challenges to that Biden loan forgiveness.
815, I paid off my loan during COVID. Am I able to get the amount back that I paid during the forbearance and then get that amount forgiven?
So the short answer is yes. Here's the one caveat I will say to that. As long as the loans that you paid off were direct loans and not FFEL loans. If you had commercially held FFEL loans, and so you were receiving statements from Navient or some other servicer that you had to make payments during COVID, and you made those payments, those you can't get a refund. That's a small percentage of federal loans, though. But if you had direct loans and you were making payments, even though they were in COVID forbearance, the answer is yes, you can get a refund of that entire amount and then get loan forgiveness on those.
847 says, hello. I just filled out my third child's FAFSA form. He's a high school senior and will attend college next year. Should I proceed as normal at this point in time?
Yes, and I would say to that listener to possibly you might want to give us a call, because the important thing with Parent Plus loans and FAFSA, so FAFSA is the free application for student aid, and that is the form on which the Department of Ed and the school will apply a formula, which is the estimated rate of family contribution, to determine what the student gets. But then the parent, who the Department of Ed sees as the primary person responsible for your kid's education, the parents are going to probably need to borrow federal Parent Plus loans. My recommendations, don't borrow private loans. Federal Parent Plus loans. But then the key here is who should be the borrower, the mom or the dad. And the consequences for that decision are huge. Either you're going to pay back lots on that loan or potentially just a portion.
But I think also inherent in this question is, hey, maybe we'll get my high school seniors' college loans forgiven down the road.
No, only this Biden loan forgiveness only applies to loans that were taken out before June of 2022.
Okay, so we just passed the deadline. So any money that you're going to borrow after the 1st of July of this year, that's not forgiven.
Isn't eligible for
before
forgiveness.
Before July. And it doesn't matter if you graduated or not. Doesn't matter when you went to school.
No.
As long as the money. So what if you borrowed money 25 years ago? Is that
that's
eligible?
That's fine. That's eligible.
A friend's daughter paid off her student loan during the forbearance period of time from 2020 to now to the tune of $7,500. Her provider then told her that if she will ask for a refund, she must apply for a new $7,500 loan in case she must pay back the refund. Is that true?
No, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. No, absolutely not. Servicers say all kinds of crazy things. Not true.
My daughter just started college. Will there be any forgiveness for new loans? We just answered that. Not for loans taken out after the 1st of July.
Exactly.
I have freelanced for 10 years for multiple nonprofits, but not full time. But the hours add up. Would that qualify for loan forgiveness?
No. So you have to be employed full time in the public sector. That doesn't count for 1099s or independent contractors. You can have two part-time positions that add up to 30 hours a week, but you have to be employed at both of those part-time positions.
It's 10:20. It's 12:28. All right, Lisa, stay there, and the rest of you will pick up your phone calls for Ray. 312-981-7200 after WGN Radio News. Oh, and then this. In the next half hour also, we'll visit with Chip Rogers from the American Hotel and Lodging Association. They're trying to get people to work in hotels and restaurants in hotels. There's a huge backlog, a need for employees. I think they're having kind of a job fair. I want to know how much these jobs pay. I think it's more than they used to. We'll update you on that in the next half hour. It's 12:37. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's a Wednesday. Terry Savage can't join us today, but one of our other favored and featured guests, Ray Kaplan, is here answering questions about student loan forgiveness and this move by six states' attorneys general to sue the Biden administration to stop the loan forgiveness from going through, the $10,000 and $20,000. If you just joined us, Ray doesn't think that they're going to get injunctive relief. That is, the program will proceed apace, but it also doesn't keep those attorneys general from suing the Biden administration. So
Correct. They
may ultimately be successful. I've been laughing about this, Ray, because all of us who were indignant at the notion that we would forgive loans, that's not the American way. You borrow money, you have to pay the money back, but we'll take the money if they can get it. Be sorry what you ask for, because if these attorneys general are successful, then you're going to lose that, and you might not love that either.
Right. It does. Executive orders are never my favorite because it does create a lot of chaos and confusion. They're more vulnerable to court challenges and overturning, and the next administration can overturn. So it is a little bit, it's a confusing landscape right now for sure. But I have to say, the other types of loan forgiveness that this administration has been implementing have been huge, but you have to take affirmative steps in order to get it. And we have seen hundreds of thousands of dollars in loans forgiven in the last few months.
Well, to the idea, this is the conversation we had when it was announced a couple of months ago, and I don't need to re-argue all of the different points, but I understand the principle of the thing. You borrowed money, you pay the money back. That's the way it goes. And the people that are left holding the notes are the American people. So we're all going to subsidize all of you who maybe deserve some loan forgiveness or don't, but they're all going to get 10 and 20 grand forgiveness. When that argument came up, more than a few people said, wait a minute, billionaires get to declare bankruptcy on millions of dollars they owe, and that money just evaporates. So it's not without precedent that we don't forgive bad debt or good debt, right?
Absolutely, because I think that why we have that, in other words, why you're able to get rid of non-consumer debts, file a bankruptcy, and then start another business is because we want to encourage people to be able to start over. Okay, you make mistakes. It's not like you're held in a some kind of a prison for the rest of your life by that. So there are ways to manage your debt under the statute that we mentioned that are very, very favorable and make borrowing very user-friendly so that you don't have to be in some kind of a debt prison or debtor's prison. And so forgiveness of loans and forgiveness of debt is really an essential thing, I think, in any civilized society, honestly.
This is Judy. You're on WGN with Ray Kaplan. Judy, what can we do for you?
Thanks. I agree with you all with in terms of the forgiveness. But I had two sons. One was in the military for 8 years, and the other one is still a police officer. Both of them had, while they are, you know, were in the service and whatnot, paid off their student loans. And this was back, I want to say, around 2014 or 15. And they were eligible, supposedly, under the PSL for, you know, reimbursement. And the federal government, you know, denied that. Is there any recourse for people like that that have never gotten anything back? Or...
Well, no, not really. So basically, in order to get, this is why it's really important to have somebody advising you or to understand how the law works, because PSLF is Public Service Loan Forgiveness. It's a law. It's a statute. It's all about statutory compliance. So if you are in compliance and you make payments that are qualifying payments after 120 of them, if there's a balance, it's forgiven. If you don't apply for it or you're in the wrong payment plan or you end up paying off those loans, then that's it. You're out of luck. So unfortunately, no, there's no recourse for them.
Sorry to hear that, Judy. And also, if you borrow money privately to pay off some of these loans, because the private loans might have given you a better interest rate, now you've paid off that federal loan, you're out of the running on this too.
Exactly.
On the forgiveness.
Yes. And that's why it's really so important. And we've been doing a lot of pre-debt consultations with parents and borrowers to make sure that people understand this is the type of debt you have. These are the laws that apply. This is the type of debt you don't have. And these are the laws that will not apply. That is so important.
This is Diane. You're on WGN. Diane, how can we help you?
Hi, thank you. I'm just calling, and I agree with everything. Thank you for bringing up the billionaires, too. I appreciate it. My son had a $24,000 balance on his loan. It was a federal loan, Great Lakes. He did pay it off December 2021 with our help, and he would only qualify for $10,000 of that under this program. How do we go about doing that? There's nothing on the Great Lakes website yet.
So if it was a direct federal student loan, what you could do or what he could do is contact Great Lakes and ask for a refund of $10,000. And then when the Biden administration releases that loan forgiveness application, they say at the end of October, then fill out that application and have that $10,000 balance forgiven. If you want help, we can certainly help you.
Okay, thank you. But he has to ask for the refund first through Great Lakes, and then he can apply.
Correct. But I would want to speak with him before he does that, just to make sure he has the right type of federal student loan. There are different types of federal student loans, and only the direct loans are eligible for the refund and forgiveness.
Okay, Diane, good luck on that, and I'll give Ray's contact information in a minute. And one more call here. Lisa, you're on WGN. What can we do for you?
Hi, good afternoon. My son has federal student loans that are now under Nelnet. Does he still qualify even though Nelnet is the service provider?
Yes, absolutely. So the way it works is when you have federal student loans, the money is owed to the Department of Education. The Department of Education hires different servicers like Nelnet, Great Lakes, Mohila. Those are some of the big ones, Ed Financial.
My so they're just student loan is Nelnet.
Yeah, so they service the loans. In other words, they send out statements, keep track of payments, et cetera. If they're a federal loan, then he is eligible for all the good stuff that comes with owing on a federal student loan. And yeah, Nelnet's a good servicer. He can contact them. And again, it depends on who you get. Sometimes the servicer, you know, will say crazy things like that other caller we talked about. But for the most part, Nelnet's a good servicer.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. That was the answer to my question. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Yeah, we're happy to help. I don't know, when I went on that website, though, I didn't see a great big tab that said, hit this button for loan forgiveness.
No.
You're laughing, but I mean, do you think a tab like that will eventually surface or no?
No.
You're just going to have to, why? Because why don't they want to help me out here?
because it's complicated. Federal student loan law is very complicated because there are so many different types of federal student loans. The way the law applies to them is different. The way the law applies to borrowers is different. So they can't have like a button like that.
But when you do go to those sites, you just want to load up your income tax information, right? Or something like that?
Yeah. So you want to apply for an income-based payment plan, and they allow you to link directly to the IRS site, and you can choose your 2020 or 2021 tax return. So choose the lower one, and then you'll be eligible for forgiveness.
If a student, here's a question on our text line from 630. If a student has a loan that qualifies for 10K forgiveness, and his parent took a Parent PLUS loan for the same child,
they both get it. Both get forgiveness.
It says, will both qualify?
Yep.
Really?
Exactly. Yeah. So the parents will get $10,000 off of their Parent PLUS loan, and the kid will get $10,000 off of their regular
student loan. What if I had three kids? What if I had, I actually heard from somebody who had two kids and a Parent PLUS loan. Could they get $30,000, 3 times 10?
Yes.
Huh.
Right. So each student will get $10,000 if they qualify, and the parent will get their own $10,000 or $20,000 if they got Pell Grants.
Right. And Social Security numbers, is that what they're tracking here? It's not households?
Right. It's Social Security numbers. So it's individual borrowers.
They do track households in terms of qualifying for the forgiveness period. That is, a household income has to be less than $250,000 or an individual less than $125,000?
It's, if you're single, under $125,000. If you're married, filing jointly, $250,000.
Okay. If you want to reach out to Ray Kaplan, visit where? Where do we go?
Financialrelief.com.
And the phone number is 312-294-8989. It's financialrelief.com. Okay, Ray, a lot of ground covered today.
Okay, yeah, I'm happy.
Thanks for your help. It's 1246. We've got more business news on the Wintrust Business Lunch with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. United Airlines is preparing to restart flights to Hong Kong as international pandemic restrictions end. Bloomberg reports United is evaluating plans to resume service from San Francisco to Hong Kong in the new year. The move comes after Hong Kong ended mandatory hotel quarantine for inbound travelers. Nearly 2.5 years of COVID restrictions has left Hong Kong largely cut off to the outside world. Entry has been limited to only Hong Kong residents. United will become one of a handful of major airlines to resume passenger flights to Hong Kong. Delta Airlines has set October 12th as moving day from its longtime home in O'Hare Airport's Terminal 2 to newly renovated gates in Terminal 5. Delta's move is the next step in the $1 billion expansion and renovation of Terminal 5. The airline will utilize gates M2 through M11 in the western concourse of Terminal 5. Its 8 gates in Concourse E at Terminal 2 will be reallocated to United Airlines. The Terminal 5 expansion will increase the terminal's gate capacity by 25%, increase passenger amenity space by nearly 85%, and replace the nearly 30-year-old baggage handling system. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Business of Food with Steve Alexander.
Yes, and we're sponsored by the Chevy Silverado HD. Experience your life in HD. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. Remember when your choice of beers could be counted on one hand? Around here, there was
Meisterbrau. It only tastes expensive.
Old Style, Bud, PBR, Schlitz. But in the 80s, beer started being brewed in small batches by home or micro or craft brewers, and it exploded. It's estimated there are now over 200 craft breweries in and around Chicago. And now we have craft cannabis. Yeah, same concept.
They're a little bit smaller, and they would grow, you know, different strains of cannabis.
Jerry Costello is head of the Illinois Department of Ag, which is in charge of overseeing and licensing everything about legal pot growing in Illinois, except retail sales.
Anything that is cultivation, craft grow, infuser, transporter is what we regulate.
And there's been a lot of retail sales since pot became legal in Illinois, with the state getting a piece of the pot pie.
We're estimating in FY23 that we'll have about $445 million of tax revenue brought into the state.
Costello says 88 craft grow licenses were issued over the past year, 48 in July.
Of the 48 licenses given out, they were 100% social equity.
Social equity is the term the state uses for encouraging minority ownership, and it is by design. It's mandated by the Cannabis Regulation and Tax Act of 2019.
Really, the emphasis is to make sure that monies are going back to communities that were impacted through the war on drugs, many obviously of them the minority communities.
So the first of these craft cannabis operations opened a couple of days ago in Rockford. It's a business called Starbuds.
This business, we're very proud to say, is 66% black owned.
Starbuds in Rockford, the first of what will be dozens of craft growers of cannabis in Illinois. From the farm to your belly, today's National Apple Betty Day. It's National Pumpkin Seed Day, and it's National Coffee with a Cop Day. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
Listen to this. There are 2,300 open hotel jobs in Chicagoland alone. To help fill those positions, the American Hotel and Lodging Foundation is having an Illinois hotel conference. And it's not just in Chicago, but it's especially acute here. Chip Rogers is the president and CEO of the American Hotel and Lodging Association. He's here to answer a few questions for us. Hi, Chip. How are you?
I am well. Thanks for having me.
What kind of jobs are we talking about?
Wow. At this point, really everything. Now, typically, people think about hotel jobs as, you know, cleaning rooms or working at the front desk. And certainly, there are many of those available. But there are security jobs, marketing jobs, food and beverage jobs, event jobs, sales jobs. I mean, there are over 200 career pathways in the hotel industry. And right now, almost all of them have openings.
So what are you all doing about it? Are you hosting a job fair, or are you just promoting people to go online? If I'm intrigued, what do I do?
Yeah, you know, we tried job fairs, honestly, early on. That didn't work so well. Basically, every hotel has job openings across the board. And
So
if you're interested in the industry, you can certainly go to any hotel and talk to them about what a career looks like. But what we're specifically doing is talking about the incredible opportunity in the industry. I mean, pay is higher than it's ever been. Flexibility is better than it's ever been. Benefits are better than they've ever been. But most importantly, opportunity to advance upwards is better than it's ever been.
I think a criticism people have of all of the jobs that are available out there these days is that a lot of them are part-time. Are these full-time jobs or part-time jobs?
Absolutely full-time jobs. You can work almost as many hours as you want to. And, you know, there's a lot of benefit working in the hotel industry. First and foremost, most owners and brands offer severely discounted or even free rooms to employees. So when you want to travel, you got access to those rooms. And a hotel job can be transportable pretty much to anywhere in the world. So if you love working in Chicago, you can stay in Chicago. But if you want to work in Miami or London or somewhere else, those opportunities are going to exist.
wonder what I would like to do if I was working for a hotel. Like, I'm not good mechanical. I don't want to clean the rooms, I don't think. Maybe the front desk, but then you're dealing with, I don't know, nice people, but sometimes harried people. I don't know. What should I do, Chip?
Well, we would take you at any position. Front desk would be great. I always like to remind people that think about the hotel guest. Typically, they're in that hotel because they're at an event, a conference that they want to be at. Maybe they're even celebrating a wedding or a birthday or family reunion, but it's usually a very important time in their life. And if you get to be a part of that, working in the front desk or working inside the hotel cleaning rooms, however, if you get to be a part of that, that's pretty special. You're not going to get that stocking shelf somewhere. You're not going to get that sitting at a desk somewhere. You really get to be part of something special in somebody else's life.
And so if I wanted to work in the business, I guess I could contact a local hotel. I see there's a website, hotelindustry.com, but literally just what? Contact the Hyatt in Chicago? Is that what you do?
If you want to work for Hyatt, they're one of the finest companies in the world. You go down to any Hyatt, and if you just sit down and say, look, I'd like to join this industry. I realize I have no experience, and I'm willing to start here, but help me map out a plan where I can get from A to B and build a career. Every hotel in this city is going to help you with that.
And there are 2,300 open hotel jobs in Chicagoland. Okay.
And that's just be clear, that's just on Indeed.com. There's far more on other sites.
TheHotelIndustry.com is a website where you can get more information, and he makes it sound pretty basic and pretty simple to start, doesn't he? Okay. All right, Chip. Interesting. Chip Rogers, President and CEO of the American Hotel and Lodging Association. Let's touch bases again later in the year, maybe, Chip, but thanks for the helpful information.
I'd love to. Thanks so much.
WGN Radio News is next.